For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation, to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first, and also to the Greek. Shalom, and welcome to the Everlasting Nation Broadcast, a radio ministry of International Board of Jewish Missions in Hickson, Tennessee. I am Aaron Broughton, your host for today, and I want to thank you for tuning in to this program. The Thanksgiving season is now upon us, and is one of my favorite times of the year. Families gather around the table eating turkey and dressing, celebrating this special day. As I think about this day, we indeed have so much to be thankful for. Now, the Hebrew word to give thanks is pronounced hodu. Ironically, hodu is the same word for turkey. Maybe turkey for Thanksgiving was started by the Jewish people. Who knew? Anyways, we have the privilege to come together with our friends and family in stopping to give thanks to the Lord. As we do this, our family usually sings a song of praise together as we sit around the table. Now, one of my favorite songs that we sing, especially with our Jewish friends, is called Hodu le'Adonai ki tov, ki le'olam chasdo. This verse is found in several places in the Bible and is translated, O give thanks unto the Lord, for he is good, for his mercy endureth forever. Though it is common for traditional Jewish music to be played in a minor key, this song is purposely sung in a major key. I believe this enhances the beautiful message of this psalm. Although it is unclear who authored this passage, it was sung during pilgrimages to the temple in Jerusalem for the feast. It was also sung by Israel after returning from exile in Babylon according to the book of Ezra. This song is a command for us to give thanks to God. As we think about this, let us look at the root, the shoresh, as we say in Hebrew, of thanksgiving. We see from the example of God's provision for Israel in the wilderness how they were thankful for his blessings. Tragically, though, the children of Israel soon forgot about the goodness of God and complained. Challenging God's goodness is to accuse God falsely about his character. God's goodness is his essence and nature. He cannot be separated from his goodness. It is from his goodness that his mercy flows. This is an eternal attribute of an eternal God. So often, we neglect our duty to be thankful, which can result in having a heart of ingratitude. Romans 1, verse 21 mentions a people who reject the goodness of God, where it reads, Because that when they knew God, they glorified him not as God, neither were thankful, but became vain in their imaginations, and their foolish heart was darkened. The other danger is that we can develop the heart of a Pharisee who gives thanks to God for what he has done in comparison to others. True thanksgiving, though, is based upon God's goodness and not our own. As believers in the Messiah, Jesus, we can always be thankful for his deliverance from our sin and the provision of goodness that he sends us each day. The psalm also carries the messianic hope that God's goodness and mercy did not end when the Jewish people returned from exile. God's goodness is ultimately found in the Lord Jesus Christ. Even today, this psalm is sung during the feasts of Israel in Jewish communities as they await the Messiah. The troubles in this world darken man's view that God is good. When Jesus returns to this earth, he will reign in a glorious display of goodness and mercy. We are reminded in one of our favorite psalms, Psalm 23, verse 6, where it says, Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Now, when you look at the seven feasts of Israel from Leviticus chapter 23, the seventh feast on the Jewish calendar is Sukkot, known as the Feast of Tabernacles. It can also be called the Jewish Thanksgiving. Now, during this harvest festival, the Jewish people thank God for his yearly provision, but also look forward to the day when God will dwell among them. With this perspective, we can be thankful today as we anticipate this blessed time in the future. As we wait for his coming, life's challenges may cause us to wonder, where is the goodness of God? Maybe this past year was a difficult year for you. I have found that thanking God in the midst of each trial helps us realize his divine presence. God's goodness is his hand holding mine rather than my hand holding his. The root, the shoresh, as we say in Hebrew, the root of thanksgiving is his goodness. When we walk through the dark valleys, God is good. When the storms of life gather around us, God is good. No matter what our situation may be, we can always give thanks to the Lord. May we hold on to this great truth that the Lord is good and that his mercy endureth forever. Now with this in mind, let's continue our Bible study now with our teacher and Jewish believer, Brother Mark Oshman.
Thank you for tuning into our radio broadcast. Over the next 2 days, we will look at the biblical concept of Thanksgiving. In 1863, American President Abraham Lincoln proclaimed the National Day of Thanksgiving and Praise. He addressed it, in his own words, to, quote, "our beneficent Father who dwelleth in the heavens," unquote. However, the observance of a day of Thanksgiving preceded that announcement. The Spanish observed the first Thanksgiving feast on North American territory back in the 16th century. English immigrants, along with Native Americans, celebrated the day of Thanksgiving in 1610 near the site of Jamestown, Virginia. The Pilgrims and other groups of Native Americans held a feast of Thanksgiving near Plymouth, Massachusetts in 1621. The Bible has much to say about the practice of giving thanks to God. In this session, we'll study the concept of thanksgiving as taught in the Old Testament. Our next program will cover thanksgiving as portrayed in the New Testament. The peace offering, as described in Leviticus chapter 7, became associated with thanksgiving. Whoever offered the peace offering needed to bring unleavened cakes and unleavened wafers, both of them mingled with oil. God designated this sacrifice as a heave offering, which implied that the priest lifted up the sacrifice when presenting it to God. According to Leviticus 22, this offering was also a free will donation. Songs of thanksgiving comprise an integral part of Israel's public worship services. According to 1 Chronicles chapter 25, David appointed Jeduthun and his sons, quote, "to give thanks and to praise the Lord," unquote. Jeduthun's name appeared in the headings of Psalm 33, Psalm 62, and Psalm 77, implying that those songs form part of his group's repertoire. King Hezekiah of Judah later reinstituted this aspect of group worship. After the Jews returned from exile in Babylon, they celebrated with songs of thanksgiving. The Jews who laid the foundation of the Second Temple praised God and gave thanks to him. According to Nehemiah chapter 12, quote, "At the dedication of the wall of Jerusalem, they sought the Levites out of all their places to bring them to Jerusalem to keep the dedication with gladness, both with thanksgivings and with singing, with cymbals, psalteries, and with harps," unquote. Beside the Psalms mentioned above, the Jewish spiritual leadership utilized other chapters in that section in the corporate worship. For example, the oft-repeated refrain in Psalm 136 goes like this, quote, "O give thanks unto the Lord, for he is good, for his mercy endureth forever," unquote. According to 1 Chronicles chapter 16, David introduced that phrase in a song he wrote when he first constituted the priestly orders. Solomon might have had the priests utilize that song at the dedication of the first temple, as per the 7th chapter of 2 Chronicles. King Jehoshaphat of Judah might have instructed his priests to sing that same psalm when his military confronted an actual alliance of nations against them. Note that the same phrase also occurred in Psalm 107 and Psalm 118. Pilgrims traveling to Jerusalem during the feasts chanted a number of songs known as the Psalms of Ascent. One of these songs, Psalm 122, contained these words, quote, "Jerusalem is builded as a city that is compact together, whither the tribes go up, the tribes of the Lord, unto the testimony of Israel, to give thanks unto the name of the Lord," unquote. Thus, that psalm seemed to comprise a portion of Israel's corporate or group worship. The opening verses in Psalm 100 are these, quote, "Make a joyful noise unto the Lord, all ye lands," unquote. These words suggest that the author of this song designed Psalm 100 for a special occasion when Gentiles would join Jews in worshiping God. Such a time might occur during the millennial reign of Jesus Christ. The fourth verse of Psalm 100 exhorted people to, quote, "Enter into his gates with thanksgiving and into his courts with praise. Be thankful unto him and bless his name," unquote. Psalm 35 might contain an allusion to this aspect of Israel's group worship. The author of that work declared that, quote, "I will give thee thanks in the great congregation. I will praise thee among much people," unquote. Likewise, in Psalm 95, the author exhorted others, quote, "Let us come before his presence with thanksgiving, and make a joyful noise unto him with psalms," unquote. God rejected such formal tokens from the Jews, however, when repentance for sin and righteous living did not accompany their professions of thankfulness. In the fourth chapter of Amos's prophecy, God condemned the religious hypocrites who praised him outwardly, but rebelled against his statutes inwardly. Quote, "Come to Bethel and transgress. At Gilgal, multiply transgressions and bring your sacrifices every morning and your tithes after 3 years. And offer a sacrifice of thanksgiving with leaven and proclaim and publish the free offerings. For this liketh you, O ye children of Israel, saith the Lord." God likewise rejected people who drew near to him with their lips, but not with their hearts. Thus he did not appreciate superficial expressions of gratitude which hid rebellious hearts. Personal thanksgiving also played a prominent role in the Old Testament. In the 22nd chapter of 2 Samuel, refrains that are repeated in Psalm 18, David expresses gratitude toward God for delivering him from his enemies and for raising him up. He declared, quote, "Therefore I will give thanks unto thee, O Lord, among the heathen, and I will sing praises unto thy name," unquote. Note that David penned these words before he reigned as king, when he first established the priestly orders. Throughout the Psalms, the writers offered their thanks to God. For example, in Psalm 69, David stated, quote, "I will praise the name of God with a song, and will magnify him with thanksgiving," unquote. The opening verse of Psalm 92 declared that, quote, "It is a good thing to give thanks unto the Lord, and to sing praises unto thy name, O Most High," unquote. The author of Psalm 116 promised, quote, "I will offer to thee the sacrifice of thanksgiving, and will call upon the name of the Lord," unquote. According to the prophets, songs of thanksgiving directed toward God will abound when he restores the Jews to their homeland. When the Lord comforted Zion, according to Isaiah chapter 51, quote, "Joy and gladness shall be found therein, thanksgiving and the voice of melody," unquote. In the 30th chapter of Jeremiah's prophecy, the author noted that when God restored Israel to their homeland, quote, "Out of them shall proceed thanksgiving, and the voice of them that make merry," unquote. Unlike the hypocritical gratitude that God noted in the book of Amos, these Jewish expressions of thankfulness will be for real. Jews thank God on a number of occasions. The author of the 119th Psalm declared that he awakened at midnight to thank God for his righteous judgments. While Jonah spent time in the belly of the great fish, as recorded in the prophecy of Jonah, he too gave thanks to God. Daniel habitually thanked God as part of his normal seasons of prayer. They believed it was necessary to render unto God these sacrifices of their lips while they still lived. As the author of Psalm 6 put it, quote, "In the grave, who shall give thee thanks?" unquote. In summation, Old Testament Jews gave thanks to God during their corporate worship. They also thanked him individually for his blessings to them. Praising God thus comprised an essential part of Jewish life throughout the Old Testament. Praise is also a very important part of Christian worship. In our next lesson, we'll see how, in the New Testament, God directed Christians to employ thanksgiving when they sang his praises and rendered him the praise that he deserved. We thank you for listening to this current radio broadcast and invite you to come back when we look about thanksgiving as practiced in the New Testament.
You've been listening to the Everlasting Nation broadcast, a radio ministry of International Board of Jewish Missions. For more information, you can write us at P.O. Box 1386, Hickson, Tennessee 37343, or call us at 423-876-8150. Or you may also go online at ibjm.org. Until next time, may God bless and shalom.